But want to move forward, you might be able to hear better. Or can you hear me okay back there?
It's okay. I knew you would say that. Perfect. All right. What I have before me this afternoon is a couple of verses, and what I really want to say to you is a couple of things that happened to me recently, which, in addition to cancer, there's a plus side to that also. So, before we get started, I'll ask the Lord to give us some help here. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be together. And we just pray that you'll bless this time. Help us learn from you and help us take a few nuggets out of the scripture and use them for you and through you. We thank you for giving us the strength to be here. And we need your help. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what I wanted to tell you, I had three different songs that I wanted you to hear. Just parts of them, little snippets of them. And the first one was, see if I can even get it to come up. This song that I'm going to, the first one I'm going to play, and these are all country western songs, straight from Branson, Missouri, where I love to go. Like to run into people that speak the same language as us hillbillies do, right, Phil? No, you're not a hillbilly, that's right, I am. But anyway, I recently, was designated as some guy who contributed to the Tire Dealers Association, and they wanted to give me an award. So at first, I said, no, I don't want any awards. And then I got to thinking about it. And there were going to be 350 people in that room that night. Mostly non-Christians, I think. Very religious, some of them. And so I called back in and said, let's reconsider what I just said. So, long story short, I felt like the Lord opened a way for me to speak the gospel to these people. I determined up front that if I was going to make the trip out there to Las Vegas, that I was going to, with the Lord's help, try to share. Some amazing things happened. Before I could go, I was experiencing bleeding, and not just small amounts of bleeding, but quite a bit of it. So that bleeding had to completely stop. About 2 days before we were supposed to leave, there was no sign of blood any place. So I go in to see the oncologist. By the way, in case you don't know what that word is, an oncologist is a person who deals with cancer, tells you what you're going to have for treatment and so forth. And sometimes they even tell you how long they think you're going to live. But as I was about to go into this room with these people there, I had this little tract, which I'm going to ask some of you guys help pass out here. It's called Cancer, Can You Beat It? And I wrote this because originally I had a friend of mine who was dying of cancer. And honestly, I was chicken. I was afraid to go talk to him. So I wrote it down. And then I went to my room and I prayed, okay, Lord, today's the day. And this was not in Las Vegas, but it was up north at a golf outing. And I said, okay, if this is the day you want me to talk to him, open the way so that I can talk to this guy. And sure enough, I walk into this massive restaurant area. There's two people in there. Who would you guess they were? His wife and he. So the two of them are sitting there, and I said, I'd like to see about 100 people come in right now, because I was scared, to be honest with you. And I wrote this little track. It's called Cancer, Can You Beat It? As I said before, but I said, after we passed the pleasantries of the day, I said, would you mind if I read you something? So I read this little thing I'd written about. I have a good friend whose name is Larry Hughes, and he's a tire dealer, and we've always gotten along quite well. And so, in any event, his wife responded very well to it. He kind of was, what is this all about? And so, when he's just about dead, he was kind of talking out of his head, but when he saw me coming in the room, in his hospital room, he just went and hugged me, really. Big brute of a guy. And he just really gave me a big hug. And so I said to his wife, do you mind if I share some of this stuff in the hospital room? She said, yes, but just a minute. I want to go get my kids. Well, I didn't know that his kids was going to be all of his kids, but all of his grandkids. And she just hauled him in there and said, you guys sit down and listen to what this man has written about your grandfather. He died about 2 days later. I understand that some guy finally got to him and he received Christ as his Savior, which would be wonderful. But at his funeral, these are very wealthy people that live on the south side of Minneapolis. And that's why we live in the north side, because we can't afford their style of living, most of us. But this mother said to me, and the son said, I want you to kind of run this funeral. Well, the pastor of the church had a different idea. Being a good Lutheran, he thought that Larry was going to go to heaven because at age, very young age, he went through catechism and he was baptized. And he actually went like this. This is how Larry's going to get to heaven as a little kid. Had no idea what he was talking about. And what anybody was talking about, but this guy said he was going to heaven. Well, I'm second to speak. I'm saying, now what am I going to do? Let him get by with this? Or am I going to speak up? And I said, I can't agree with what the pastors just said. Salvation comes because you either believe or you don't believe. Because you realize you're a sinner, you need a Savior. And for some reason or other, I went to Ecclesiastes. It's better to go in the house of mourning than a house of feasting. Because some people there are going to lay it to heart. There was a guy, a couple guys that I knew for years. Drinking, swearing guys. For some reason or other, they knew a little bit about their Bible. And one guy said to me, I need to take to heart what the Scripture's telling me. Because I am a believer. Anyway, that was quite a challenge for me. And One of the daughters of this guy just got totally angry with me because she thought I was indicating her dad was not going to go to heaven. And I could be. Sorry. Don't shoot the reporter. And she got over that, I think. Anyway, that was one of my first real challenges in front of, there were about 500 people packed into that little mausoleum room there. And I remember saying that Larry and I liked to used to go out, eat a lot for lunch. We'd get the biggest hamburger that they made, and we enjoyed it together, mostly talking about business. And to now switch back to Las Vegas, I'm ready to go into this place. And there's all these people coming in there. And I have these 300 and some tracks. And I said, Lord, how I want one of these in each chair. How are they going to get there? Just then the gal that set up the room came by, and it was like the Lord said, there's your answer right there. So I handed her 350 tracks, and she gathered up some of her friends, and she said, yeah, let's see if there's one. Every chair in the room had one of these. Just like, I'm going to ask you to come up and pass these out, a couple of you guys. Make sure all the students get them. That's kind of the way it happened out there. He took them and passed them out. And the reason I wanted you guys to have that, because it kind of goes through and talks a little bit about how I think you can reach out to people. And this afternoon, I was hoping I had a board here and I forgot to get it. But your area of influence is what I want to talk about today. Now, I look out here and I see Phil. I know some of the area of influence he has goes clear to the top of Service Master. I think you still have that connection, don't you, Phil? Service Master does a lot of business with Costco. Costco does business with Green Valley. Green Valley does business with lots of people. So your area of influence, and I think Wayne, too, these people know who you guys are. And so I just say to you, thank you, guys. The big thing that if you want to, I think, do the will of the Lord, you have to be ready when the time comes. You can't say, well, I think, just a minute, I'll call up Charles Carter, or I'll call up Bill Dozak or somebody else or one of the Mitchell boys and say, hey, what's the answer to this question? Because you got to be ready to just give the best answer you know. And if you don't know, don't fake it. But this area of influence that I had came from 40 years dealing with these people in the tire industry. And I would say I did things not like Bob did the other day, Eric. I tried to, when somebody needed something, I tried to get it for them right now. Now, according to schedule, I have 3 more minutes to wrap it up. Charles said I can't do anything in less than an hour or so. So, anyway, I went in there, and I just want to read to you what I read to these guys, because I had to have a disclaimer in there that what I was going to say, because there are a lot of Jewish people in the tire industry. There was a lot of other kinds of people who are in there. So the first thing I did is introduce the family and told a little bit about us. And here's what I wrote. Thanks to God for giving me strength to be here despite what has been called terminal cancer of the colon. I don't know how long I have left, as does anybody else for that matter. And that seemed to ring a bell with quite a few people in the room. Some of my remarks this evening will be distinctly Christian. Don't be afraid to say that. Use the word Christian. This is based on becoming a Christian at a young age, since then doing work for about 40 to 50 years. Jesus says that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, not because of good works, but unto good works. So God wants us to do good works once we become His child. One is to remember the poor. And throughout Scripture, there's just a lot of other things. The next thing I said was my son, Tom Jr., told me about 20 years ago that if I ever did anything the right way, I'd better give God the glory, not myself. And I want you guys to know, to be known, I want to be known as one who knew God on a personal basis. And as a Christian, we believe in new birth based on work on the cross for us, on His work on the cross for us, Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to get that out there that, okay, what I'm going to say to you is based on the Bible and it's based on Christian principles. It's not based on anything outside the Bible. I hope it's all accurate what I tell you. Then I go on and talk a little bit about the history with the tire industry and the keynote speaker was very quick to get on and off the stage, which gave me more time because they kind of had to haul me up on the stage, prop me up. I was so weak that I could hardly move. But the Lord will give you the strength that you need to do what you need to do in your area of influence. And I wish I had been able to draw that for you, because your area of influence is bigger than what you think it is. How many people here think that they have 10 people who they have influence over? Put your hands up. Okay, let's keep them up there. How about 50, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500? Okay, there it is. One of the songs I was going to play for you, and I'm just not going to try it, but the song is Keep Me in the Fire, Lord, till I come forth as gold. And I'll tell you, be careful what you ask for. You'll probably get it. And it may be show up in the way of cancer. It may show up in the way of having difficult friends. But it'll show up if you ask for it. Keep me in the fire, Lord, till I come forth as gold. The other song that I was going to sing, that I was going to play for you, is If God Wants to Light a Fire, Any Old Bush Will Do. Get it? You could be that bush out there in the desert. Just think, how many people do we have here? 60 people, average 100. Average 100 people that you have influence over. If you could just somehow or other get the message to those people that there's a bush out there, and maybe it has your name on it, and you have an area of influence, and I want you to go and do that thing for me. I went to the cross for you. You can at least stand up for me. It's amazing. The first time I talked, it was not to this larger group, but it was to the board of directors. There were 28 people in the room. I'm scared to death. Walk up there and I said, I want you guys to remember, this may be my last meeting, but I want you to remember that Tom knew God. No matter what else you hear. And I go slinking back to where my chair was, scared to death that I have to deal with 28 questions. You know what happened? What do you think happened? They stood up and gave me a standing ovation. It's hard to talk about it, but tell you what, there was somebody in there who was touched by the word of God, just scraping up against them a little bit. I used the same approach to that big group. And the executive director came up to me the next day and said, there were tears all over that room. First guy to speak, I knew he was a Christian. I was the last one to speak. In between, they were kind of funny guys. But when we left the room, one woman said to the executive director, I had to leave the room because it was just too touching. Well, whose power was that? Mine? God. And this guy, who's a Catholic friend of mine, who's the executive director, said, God was in that room. I know it for a fact. And I just am thankful for the courage you had to do that. And guys, it doesn't take a lot of courage to speak up for the Lord. It takes a willing heart. I want to turn for just a minute. Brother, I'm going to get shot here. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of the king Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His glory, the glory of God, had filled the temple. I felt like that evening the glory of the Lord was able to shine in the first speaker and myself. Not because we wanted the credit, but because he deserves the credit. And it's just like T told me long ago, I'll smack you in the face if you try to take credit. It belongs to God. And it's a hard thing. Or sometimes we get all excited about what we've done. It's what he did. And that was the bus was coming. So it's a double reminder. So I just say to you tonight, this afternoon I mean, go down to verse 8, the cleansing fire. And there we read that the iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for me? And there was a simple response. Thou then said, I, here am I, send me. It's almost as if, God, I'm ready. Are you ready this afternoon to answer to his call when he says, who shall I send? There's a Jabez asked a question. Lord, expand our borders. give us a chance to get out of Jerusalem, Judea, and if you want me to, I'll go to all the earth. When I was first asked about going to the Philippines, I said, yeah, I'll go. Wayne asked me the same question about Mexico. I said, yeah, I'll go. And is it because I think I'm that great? No. It's because the Lord says, be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks for the reason that you believe. So I just say to you this afternoon, I wish I had another 45 minutes, but in any event, it's a very serious thing, but it's also quite exciting to have it happen. Now, 350 people in that room the last night rose to their feet and did the same thing. They weren't clapping for me. They were clapping for God. And I was just thankful that I made that effort, because I spent 5 days in the hospital as a result of getting totally wiped out, bleeding all started again, blah, blah, blah. Then I started last, when we had in Romans, where Paul listed all the different things that he had. I spent 5 days laying in a very nice hospital room. Read through, I think it's chapter 11 or 12. There's 18 times that Paul suffered massive setbacks. And I'm sitting there whining about five. And I was comfortable. He said he spent a night and a day in the deep. I'd be scared to death to be in the ocean for not being able to see at nighttime. And I'm telling you, I'd be scared to death. But there was Paul, steadfast, steadfast, steadfast. It's a good example for us to look at. And then, of course, the one who really set his mind on what he had to do was Lord Jesus. Wonder if there's anybody here this afternoon who doesn't know Jesus personally, or who can't stand up and say, I want you to remember me as somebody who knew God. That's what I want for you guys. So I think I'll close with that. I was going to tell you the story that I ended up with there, but maybe I'll save that for tonight. But the last thing I said, remember that Tom knows God on a personal basis, and that's what I want to leave with you tonight. God knows who you are and wants you to come to Him too. He's calling you. He's calling you to service. He's calling you to learn about Himself. I want to thank you guys for putting up with the extra time. Sorry about that. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, again, we thank you for this time we can have together. We thank you for your blessings along the way. We thank you for all the teachers and the students and the cooks and everybody else who helped put this together. We just thank you for the strength we can get from you. Help us to think about the area of influence we have and to ask the Lord, like Jabez, expand our borders. Jerusalem, that's important. Judea, very important. All the world. Go into the world, make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.